10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A lot of Democrats still stunned by the performance of President Biden during last night's debate, even though Donald Trump repeated numerous falsehoods during the contest. ABC Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says Joe Biden's stumbling and raspy voice left voters wondering about his stamina.
He needed a win. Instead, he had a performance that has top Democrats questioning whether Joe Biden has what it takes to beat Donald Trump. One Democratic member of Congress who has been a strong Biden supporter texted me in the middle of the debate a typical response. He said, "I am in a state of shock. He is diminished to an extent that has become undeniable."
The Supreme Court to issue more rulings this morning. Decision still out on presidential immunity. Charges for January 6th rioters and homeless encampments. The Oklahoma school superintendent requiring the Bible and the Ten Commandments be included in the state's public school curriculum for grades 5 through 12. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's joining a number of other states in trying to get TurboTax to stop advertising its services as free. Attorney General Josh Call is joining 21 attorneys general asking the Federal Appeals Court to reject an appeal filed by the maker of TurboTax. The Federal Trade Commission last year ordered Intuit to stop advertising its services as free unless they're free to all customers. The attorneys general want that upheld. There's another legal challenge to the process that determines Wisconsin's wolf management plan. Melissa Smith is with Friends of Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife. She says the Natural Resources Board treats some animals differently than others.
Deer are held in the public trust. So it seems that it's pretty inconsistent when they decide something is held in a public trust and when something is not.
A coalition of wildlife groups filed the latest court challenge this week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Music took over the streets around the North End neighborhood in Superior on Thursday. The first installment of Porch Fest kicked off this week, featuring local musicians performing in front of area homes. According to a Fox 21 report, organizers chose to start the yearly event on the North End because there is a great deal of low-income senior housing, and they wanted to give them the opportunity to enjoy the music right in their backyard. The next performances are scheduled for July 11th in the Central Park area. Residents and nonprofit organizations got out in the Duluth community for their Day of Caring event. According to a Northern News Now report, the goal of the event was to get volunteers out working on smaller projects throughout the area, including things like repainting the Duluth Children's Museum or repairing the fencing surrounding the YWCA playground. Organizers say the event not only gives residents the opportunity to improve their community, but helps address some of the easily overlooked issues they want fixed. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Chicago Cubs, and manager Craig Counsell, whose team has lost three of their last four series, the Cubs right now in last place in the NL Central.
This is the way the game works. You're going to have a result, and you're going to have a game the next day. And you can't let the result of the night before affect the result, the play the next day. Obviously, we're not getting the results we want.
The NBA draft wrapped up. The Bucks selecting guard A.J. Johnson and 6'11" forward Tyler Smith out of Houston, Texas. There were a lot of trades for picks last night in the second round. Did the Bucks receive a lot of offers to give up their pick at number 33?
Yeah, I mean, especially where we were, there was a lot of conversation, calls from agents, calls from other teams wanting to move up into our spot, into our position. But we had our process in place and knew that if our player was there, we were definitely going to select that player.
That's the Bucks assistant general manager, Milt Newton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high right around 72 with wind out of the south at 15 to 25. Tonight, 57. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, a sprinkle or two with a high near 70. On Sunday, sunshine with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. but I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Marquette pollster Charles Franklin. Let's talk about the dead heat here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, coming together right now, huh?
That's what the hope is, to figure out a way to come together.
All right. Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. We're going to continue the conversation about your thoughts on the debate last night. Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, David Axelrod, you remember him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He told the GOP strategists, if Biden is replaced, you guys are in trouble. Democratic strategist David Axelrod told GOP strategists during a post-debate panel discussion that they and former President Trump would face trouble if President Biden is replaced at the top of the Democratic ticket. If for whatever reason there's a change at the top of the ticket, you guys are in trouble. Because the guy who was up there tonight is not a guy who's going to inspire people, Axelrod said on CNN following the Thursday debate in a clip highlighted by Mediate. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. That debate last night, that was like watching a boxing match without a referee. And I blame more, where in the hell were those moderators? They would ask, there were three questions that I remember that they asked, and Trump did not offer one answer. All he said was, he's the worst president in history. One was about child care. The other question was about the drug problem. And the other question that I can remember was, will he accept the results of the election? He did not answer.
Right.
The moderator should insist, if you're a moderator, you answer the question. Yeah, we heard that before, that he's the worst president. I blame this whole fiasco on the moderators, period. So that is my comment on it.
Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. I did not like the format. I like Sandy, but I think the moderators should have kind of gotten, especially Trump, to stay on the question that was asked.
Well, I think a couple of times they did ask follow-up questions. To be honest with you, I thought, as far as debates went, that this was better decorum and more of a debate. But the candidates themselves failed in the debate. Trump failed because he was who he was. He spoke only in hyperbole and falsehoods and exaggerations and ad hominems. I mean, all those things describe every part of that debate for him. And Joe Biden would have been in a position, or a candidate could have been in a position, to tear apart all of the falsehoods of that Trump was putting out there, but he couldn't do it. And so that was a failure there, too. So, you know, I think that the debate exposed the American people to a real troublesome issue, and that is that there's two candidates running, both of whom have substantial faults, and one of them, who was more likely, apparently, after that debate to get elected, one of them has serious flaws in the nature of what kind of leadership he would provide to the country.
844-967-2789. Susan, you're up next.
Hi. Yes. I watched that train wreck, and I totally agree with everybody who's responding to it. I think that we need to look at our candidate. The Democrats have to look seriously at their candidate. And I think that we could do a whole lot better. We need a strong individual. I'm not saying that what Biden said was wrong. He was on point with a lot of issues. But my serious concern is that the Republican Party will run with this, and that we will get another 4 years of Trump. And then after those 4 years, do you really think Trump is going to give up the White House? No, I doubt it. And I just think that we could do a whole lot better. And there are many people who are out there in the Democratic Party who could step in and take charge. And we need a person to step in and take charge and run with the ball. That's all that I have to say.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, let's just explore for a moment. You know, President Biden stepping down and Vice President Kamala Harris stepping into that void, because that has to be, it can't be an automatic bypass. That conversation has to be had, right?
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing. the process has become, the selection process has become one in which there's never an open convention. It's settled by the primaries. The presidential candidate gets selected in the primary. Then the presidential candidate selects the vice presidential candidate that gets rubber stamped at the convention. And that's how we have Kamala Harris. That's how we got her as the vice president. Now, I don't think that the administration did a good job of providing Kamala an opportunity to demonstrate what kind of a president she might be. I think her early presentations were ones that were maybe somewhat disappointing, and I think they decided to put her in the situation where she got very little coverage and very little attention. I think she was sent on a bit of a fool's errand when she was told to handle the migrant problem, because the migrant problem was bigger than the capacity to be controlled by the White House, and it was a major problem. And so, you know, there we have someone who's been vice president, who's basically an unknown quantity, who doesn't poll very well. So I think the very interesting and difficult question is, what is the mechanism? If Biden steps down, what is going to be the mechanism for selecting a presidential candidate? And I think the only mechanism that can work is to have it be an open choice process, where you get back to what could have happened if there had been a primary and a bunch of contenders. But so I don't think it will automatically go to Kamala, but I don't understand or don't necessarily clearly foresee what mechanism it is that gets around that.
So, Sandy, this brings about, to me, a broader conversation with what transpired yesterday about where the nation is at. And as you talk about the middle class and all of those things that are a major challenge, the one thing that Joe Biden did offer was opportunities and ideas to address the inequities that have happened for a long time to the middle class.
Well, I think that his administration, there's much a Democrat can run very successfully on the Biden administration record. I think the record and the proposals that is now that are now being brought forth in the platform for the next 4 years are all very sound, and a candidate who's capable can run very well on it. My concern is that the debate last night was a bit like Aaron Rodgers' debut for the Jets. I'm just afraid that that Biden severed his Achilles in the debate.
Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. Did I just hear that Sandy said that the Democrats could run on Biden's record?
Yes.
Well, I hope so, because that's a clear win for the Republicans. What a disaster it has been all around the world, at home. The people that are being killed, the mother of five, Rachel Morin. You never heard the president, Biden, speak of the 13th. What did he make a statement that he hasn't lost any soldiers in war? What about the 13 he got killed in Afghanistan? That is, it's shameful. It is disgusting.
No, what's shameful, CJ, what's shameful is you coming on the air, continuing to repeat the same thing every opportunity that you're on these airwaves. Do you think people in this nation are sitting back with all the things that are going on that are impacting and affecting their families to talk about 13 soldiers that got killed in Afghanistan, when there are things that are impacting and affecting them every day of their lives, and things that Joe Biden, to his credit, has worked to try to correct without any support from Republicans? President can't wave a magic wand. A president is not a king. Many of the things that Joe Biden had talked about and attempted to pass to address the issues of the middle class and those who struggle in this nation have been totally dismissed by the Republican Party. Now, you can blame all that on Joe Biden himself, but that's not accurate.
You know, and if Joe Biden had been more alert when that came up, I think he would have been able to describe the situation that led to that Afghanistan. First of all, it was Donald Trump that negotiated with the Taliban, bringing the Taliban to Camp David. The Taliban agreed to a May 1 deadline for the withdrawal. The withdrawal was done pursuant to an agreement that had been reached by Donald Trump with respect to the ending the involvement in Afghanistan. And if we had stayed in Afghanistan for a longer period of time, isn't it absolutely probable that we would have lost more than 13 servicemen in that extended stay in Afghanistan? We were losing servicemen every month. So, and also with respect to the billions of dollars of equipment that was left behind and the fiasco associated with the airbase, Donald Trump turned over all of the other airbases that were held. We had other airbases other than Agra, and that was the biggest airbase. But pursuant to the agreement that he cut with the Taliban in Camp David, we had turned over all of the other facilities we had, so we were left in that bind. So the story's pretty complicated.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts?
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
She's got the devil.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, you know, we're still talking about this. And the reason we're still talking about this is because it is a big deal. You know, we can't act like it's not a big deal. The funders for the Democratic Party are clamoring. The talking heads, the former presidents of the United States on the Democratic side of things are saying this is not good. The congressmen and senators, you know, very prominent ones on the Democratic side, are alarmed. So we're not, Sandy, we're not, you know, being overly dramatic about this time and what transpired and where we are we?
No, I don't think we are. I mean, I think the sorry thing is that, you know, Tom Brady retired when he was still at the top of his game or very close to it, but he could have stayed on for five more years and had a really sorry spectacle and had a game where everyone said, you know what, he can't ever play again. It's the, you know, and we'd all feel badly about someone who'd done that. And I'm afraid that Joe Biden has just made that same mistake.
He's run his course.
He made that same mistake. He's had a very successful presidency, lots of things to tout, lots of accomplishments. In fact, if you really measured accomplishments, he's accomplished more than Barack Obama was able to accomplish in 8 years.
No question.
And so, you know, it's just a sorry thing to watch. But on the other hand, the country deserves good leadership, and we deserve the right policies to be adopted.
You know, let's go to David from Green Bay. Hey, good morning to you, David. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Good morning. I listened to the debate tonight, and, you know, I noticed one thing that, you know, there's Republicans and there's Democrats, but I think both sides are having a hard time getting behind Biden. He's just not a person you can get behind, you know, with the, I think it was the Justice Department or the FBI. I forget. Someone said he was too feeble to prosecute for something. I just think that it really raises the question in my mind when I see the man in action, who's pulling the strings? And I'd like to see what you guys think about that, because this guy's not making the decision.
Well, hold on. So before you
steer in the ship.
Hey, David, so before you leave, I'd like to ask you, a king pulls the strings. In a democratic government, a democracy, there's more than one person calling the shots. Do you think it's good to have a guy like Donald Trump who has basically dismissed all the people who were around him the first time around? He kept talking, Sandy, about Joe Biden was afraid to fire people. But I fired people and ran the government as if it was his own fiefdom. Do you think that's the way it should be, David?
Well, if you liked Trump or you didn't like him, the country survived him. Whether you liked Carter or didn't like him, the country survived him. We have a system of government that'll make it through 4 years of any president. It's just a matter of if something happens in the Middle East, if something happens with Russia, do we really want Biden pulling the strings for America? You know what? The president is the executive branch, and we deserve to have an executive that can make good decisions. I just wonder who's been pulling the strings for the last year or two and who they're going to try to put in there at the convention. I think they'll try to keep it to a 4-day charade where he steps down at the convention and, he's just forgotten about 4 days later when they figure out who the nominee is going to be. But we'll see what happens. I'd just like to know who you guys think is making the decisions. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you very much for your call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I mean, decisions need to get made. The United States is much bigger than any corporation could conceive of being. And what we require to run this country is a broad and capable team of people, starting with the secretaries of the cabinets who are instructive as with respect to the policy direction of the ship. You can't turn this ship quickly because, there's lots of inertia built into all the laws that exist and the processes. But it's terribly important that we have competence. You can see that when we didn't have competence in FEMA. You can see that when we've lost confidence and competence in the FAA, in a number of our regulatory agencies. And so, this notion of who's calling the shots. I mean, I think the concern needs to be whether there's people calling the shots who aren't even in government. Is money calling the shots? Are corporations having too much influence? And we should ask that question about both candidates, because clearly a candidate who talks about raising $1 billion from the oil industry and he will give them every regulatory change they can dream of is not being responsive to the people. Okay, that's not a people responsive executive action.
Let's go to Mike from Muscadet. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Well, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. Slow Joe, he created his own Frankenstein monster called the Border, Patrol. It's going to come back to bite him big time.
He created the crisis at the border single-handedly?
Yes, he did, sir. Well, 18 million come across the border, like the Trumpster said.
Well, Trumpster wasn't right about 18 million, okay? That was factually debunked. And so my concern is that, you call, and this is what I've talked about on a prior show. I think Trump does represent a symbol to people, and I think that person who's the symbol is the Trumpster. And what he had to say, he talked about those 18 million migrants being unloaded from prisons and insane asylums. There's absolutely no factual basis for that statement whatsoever. And he talked about how prisons and insane asylums across the world are emptying and are having lower populations because they're all coming to the United States, no factual basis. He talked about them killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. Absolutely not true. But there is a problem at the border. And the problem at the border is derived from the sociological and demographic problems in South America, okay, and in Central America and in Mexico. And the numbers of people who want to come to the United States are driven by that. Biden did attempt to shift from the order that had been issued by Trump, which was based on COVID. Okay, the order that he had that was freezing incoming migrants to the country was based on the danger posed by COVID, which had expired. The danger had expired, so they were left with a different problem. But we did have a bipartisan bill passed by Congress to try to deal with it. That Biden was going to sign, and that, Mr. Trump decided wouldn't be favorable because it would remove an issue from the election. What about that?
Well, what about how you're going to feel when one of your loved ones is murdered by one of these illegals? What about that?
Well, tell me this. You mentioned that. How many illegals have murdered Americans? Do you know the number?
I don't know the off number, but more than should have been allowed, sir.
844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Six affordable housing developments around Wisconsin are splitting $525 million in state funding. The Vacancy to Vitality Initiative is the biggest housing investment ever made by the state. The Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority says it'll benefit senior living, workforce housing, and rehabilitation developments. Jobs tied to public works projects under the Inflation Reduction Act are raising standards for workers and improving worker standards. John Havlicek is a longtime teacher in La Crosse.
These are high-paying jobs, and when we couple that with the technical college, these folks can get their training and they can raise families. They can, you know, buy their groceries. They go out for dinner.
Havlicek says all these things are making public worker unions stronger. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A group of cyclists is looking to add some new features to the trail system at Spirit Mountain. According to a WDIO report, the cyclists of Gitche Gummy Shores maintain over 100 miles of trails in the Twin Ports area and often look to add more or improve them for area mountain bikers. The group says there aren't many options for beginner bikers right now, and they're looking to add some lower difficulty trails to encourage more people to give the sport a try. They're also looking to add a blue trail jump. The Duluth Art Institute has a new location in the downtown area. According to a Fox 21 report, the Art Institute held its grand opening at its new location on Tuesday in the U.S. Bank Building on West Superior Street with a new gallery. The first exhibit at the new location featured the work of over 130 artists for their annual member show, allowing people to walk through the space and vote for their favorite pieces. The winning piece was crowned the Institute's 2024 People's Choice winner. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In the summer that's seen several horror films released, the trend continues. A Quiet Place Day One is the third episode of the franchise, and despite the absence of Emily Blunt and John Krasinski, the film is reviewing very well on Rotten Tomatoes, grabbing an 86% so far. Despite the good reviews, Day One does not have much of a chance of knocking off Inside Out 2 at the box office. The sequel to Inside Out is expected to reach $1 billion faster than any animated film in history. The other highly anticipated film is Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1. Believe it or not, the film is even longer than the title. Horizon is a Civil War-era drama that clocks in at just over 3 hours, and that's Chapter 1, folks. Horizon is pulling a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes. Sean Penn and Dakota Johnson star in Daddy-O, which opens in limited release and is pulling a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high right around 72 with wind out of the south at 15 to 25. Tonight, 57. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, a sprinkle or two with a high near 70. On Sunday, sunshine with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations! Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. And then we talk all things entertainment with OnMilwaukee.com's Matt Miller. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It is not dying.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. The new phone lines are open. You still got a chance to get in. There's one line open. You can make it, but we're going to get all of you on. Let's go to Jake from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Jake. Your thoughts?
Hey, I didn't know I was going to be on. Weird. Speaking about the last caller about illegal immigrants killing people, you know, in vast numbers, you know, I looked up the gun homicides in the United States last year, and it was 403K, if not bigger than that. 400,000 Americans killing each other. So, you know, hello?
Yeah, you go ahead, Jake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that is an actual fact and data I found on the internet, last guy who called. So if you're going to call up here, you better have information and data to back up what you say. Because fact is everything that comes from your Trumpers, I don't believe. And no one is going to believe you ever, because you guys can't back up anything you say. And you don't have a millionaire loudmouth like he is. So I don't know. It's just like, people, don't call these shows and show that you are an idiot, hey, because you follow an idiot.
Hey, Jake, thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, your thoughts?
Thanks for taking my call quickly. You know, what's important is you know, truth to power. Facts do matter. And Sandy, when you brought up to CJ about Afghanistan and Trump, closing airports across the nation, creating bottlenecks for that one remaining open airport, which then creates the perfect landscape and opportunity for chaos. You know, that's what's happening. It's just like, again, them not supporting the border bill. They're manufacturing these failures and then amplifying them up for their political points. And when our politics has gotten so nasty to where we're willing to accept that this is the way, you know, our politics is to go, you know, it's just really crazy. So I think, you know, fact-finding, talking truth to power, talking about, again, Trump not listening to his own advisors in Afghanistan and negotiating with that exit. His generals all just were up in arms right afterwards and saying, no, we can't do this. We're making a big mistake. But again, for some reason, the right wingers, they don't want to look at the whole story. They take what they want to, and they want to weaponize it against us. And so my last point is this, you know, we got to start working together. It's all in all of our best interest to get a handle on our election process and start fixing all these things. But allowing them to so easily manipulate information in order to divide us, we have to be smarter than this. We have to be able to sniff out these manufactured to fail policies. And then when they come up to fruition, we need to be able to call them out. You know, last thing, real quick, and that is the same thing in Central America. We had local offices in El Salvador and Panama that were helping manage the immigration flow that's been going on since before we were born. And Trump closed those 90 days before he left office because he said they weren't no longer necessary. So, you know, we have to look at these things through both eyes, our left eyes, our right eyes. We have to figure these things out together. And we can. We can solve all these problems.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to address any of that?
No, I just really agree that we need to get back to facts, and we need to get back to complicated facts. So we understand the issues. We can't just dumb down things. And I'm afraid that the news media has failed us in that regard. They don't tend to dig deep and tell us everything we need to know. And our news media needs to step up.
Well, you know, Sandy, to This clearly should have been hammered on over and over and over. Former President Trump, are you going to accept the outcome of the election? Well, if it's fair. Okay. So he determines?
He didn't even get to that part of the answer last night. He just ducked it altogether and never answered that portion of it.
But Sandy, to if it's fair, okay, well, if he feels, and so this is the part of it, Sandy, that all people should be concerned about, Democrat or Republican. It's only up to him alone to determine whether or not our elections are fair. He has that right.
Well, you know, when he says that answer, people who back him think what he's talking about is, well, a court might decide it isn't fair. But the question assumes that it has been adjudicated and certified. And that's what happened last time. We had like 63 lawsuits, all of which confirmed the election. It was certified after all of the judicial contests that could possibly have been brought had been brought. And he still decided that it wasn't fair. So I guess you're right that his version is not one that is within the law. His version of fairness is without the law.
And he's going to repeat the same thing because he has risen, and you call him the caricature.
Yeah, the Trumpster. Yeah. I mean, the people who are wanting to call him the Trumpster are buying into the whole WWE kind of semi-reality version of the world, the one in which we have fun fighting with one another. You know, WWE, the part, you go to a WWE function, and people are kind of fighting with each other. Not really. They're just having fun. Some of them are for the Crusher, and some of them are for the Bruiser. And, you know, it's all fun.
Well, and but, it's but endearment.
It's a semi-reality kind of a thing where, you know, the Crusher says the Bruiser's taking drugs, and yeah, he's taking drugs, and lock him up, and they bring in a jail, and they pretend to lock him up, and it's all reality, but it's not reality. And I'm afraid that we've come to that in the reality that we're living politically. We're living in a WWE political reality.
Let's go to Rita from La Crosse. Good morning to you, Rita. You say what?
I would like to say that I'm riding with Biden, and the Democrats should not give up on him. Everything he's done for us, and you think a few comments from a lying rapist, convicted felon, should make a difference? No, I'm standing up for Joe, and I think the Democrats better start standing up for Joe and a straight Democratic ticket. We got to bring our country back.
Do you think what you saw last night with Joe Biden, you really think that what you saw reassured you that he can physically handle the rigors of being president of the United States again for 4 more years?
Yes, I believe in Joe. And I believe that the guy standing next to him was a liar. If you listen to him, all he did was lie. And I think the news media did a real stinking job of interviewing him, too, because they just let him keep lying like he does, nonstop. Lie, lie, lie.
Hey, Rita, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Bruce from Green Bay. Hey, good morning to you, Bruce. You say what?
Good morning to you, too. First of all, Afghanistan, it was Trump and Pompeo that Biden and the United States in the box that he had to get out of. And the other thing, I'm kind of on the Lincoln bandwagon when he said to his advisors that they should give all the generals whatever Ulysses S. Grant was drinking because he was the only one that was winning the war. The same thing I've got to say for the Democrats and Biden. I don't care how Biden comes out on camera. We have got the economy coming out of COVID-19 that the rest of the world envies. We have the lowest unemployment since the 60s. We have Elisa Khan in the FTC going after corporations that have been gouging us. I mean, everything about this administration, I mean, is to be envied. So give me some more Joe Bidens. I don't care how they look on camera. I don't care if they stutter. I don't care if they mumble their words. He's doing a hell of a job.
Hey, Bruce, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I want to ask you, Bruce and Rita just reinforced that they're down with Biden. We talk about the people who are down with Donald Trump. And regardless of, you know, what they see in him, is there a danger on the other side of it?
Well, I think what we have to look at this, it depends on whether what you want to be is sort of ideologically pure in your heart, or whether you want to succeed in electing the people who will represent your interest and actually getting them elected. And that's where people like Axelrod come into play, okay? Axelrod is a pragmatic politician, one who sees the tea leaves and understands that you need to win the election in order to have the outcomes, the policy outcomes that you want. And so what I fear is that, yes, I think there are plenty of people who are solidly behind Biden, regardless of what happened in the debate. The question is whether that debate and the aftermath of it is going to cause Biden to be unable to win the election. And that's my fear, okay? And I think that winning this election is a very important predicate to having policies going forward that we can live with. Because I think the policies that are being espoused by the other candidate are far more radical and far, far different than the kind of changes that have ever been discussed for our country in the past. And so we need to be very vigilant about doing this, taking the steps necessary to get a candidate elected. And that's where I'm coming from.
Let's go back to Tom from L.A. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, Earl, I'll tell you what. It's amazing. Joe Biden finally gets press coverage for the first time. Trump is probably mad at Biden right now because he's actually getting press coverage. You notice in the debate never talked about the future. It never talked about the four things that Sandy talks about, child care, health care.
Well, they tried to. They brought it up. They brought it up.
But then Trump goes and lies.
Right.
They don't push back. So the thing is, yeah, there really needs to be in this country, the League of Women Voters need to take back over this these debates. We got to get the profit. It's money in politics. That is what has corrupted. It's the greed of money, which is killing this country. And, you know, right now, all the Republicans are bought off. Some of the Democrats are bought off. And it's the whole structure. And the Supreme Court is all that matters. Because I'll tell you what, we get a Republican president in there, we are done. We are done. They can go and increase the court to 13 and make them all Federalist Society type people. So thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on, 844-967-2789. Your thoughts? You know, it's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And, you know, this almost appears to be a somber kind of process. And, you know, nobody died, right? I mean, we have to stop acting like, you know, the race is lost, because it's not lost. The election did not happen yesterday, and Donald Trump and the Republicans did not win.
We just need to have a lessons learned process and move forward constructively.
Yes, sir. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. Friday's with Sandy Williams.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Sandy, great choice.
Well, I thought after you, just like you said, this isn't a somber day necessarily, and everything's going to be all right.
Let's go to Jim from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what, sir?
Good morning, guys. Hey, had a little rough night. It was a little anxiety. Woke up with anxiety, and then, you know, I just didn't want to watch it after a while. And, you know, read about how the post-debate programs went, more or less was all about Joe, Joe, Joe this, Joe, Joe, Joe that, and nothing really about his lies, Trump's lies. And you can't help but think if a sharper person was up on that stage, would have been called out because the moderators certainly weren't going to do it. And I think a sharper guy, a sharper Joe, would have been able to do that and contradict and to paint Trump in a corner where he couldn't get out. So I don't know what the future is. I'm going to vote Joe no matter what. I can't think about Trump getting back in. Not only, you know, somebody called earlier and said, you know, we survived before for 4 years. Well, that's not the case this time. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, what's going to change, how he'll try to do any kind of dictatorship and things like that. So it's key that the party pulls together. I think they're going to wait a few weeks and see how the polls go. And if they might throw names out there, but no matter who the candidate is, I'm going to vote for them. I just have to stand by that the party makes the right decision, and the country does.
Hey Jim, well said, well thought out. Thank you very much for those words, and thank you very much for listening. Let's go back to Brendan from New Jersey.
Hey, Earl. I just wanted to make a couple of points real quick before you go off the air. One. The border has been an issue since Alf was a weekly sitcom on TV. It's been a political football going back and forth, okay? So let's stop acting like the border all of a sudden because some guy put up some metal pillars was all of a sudden a big problem. That's one. And two, the other thing is nobody's mentioning Project 2025. And if he gets in office, the Heritage Foundation and him are going to be yanking at each other to see who's really running the show, which is just going to cause a disaster in this country, not to mention the crumbling of our economy. So then what he'll do is he'll go right to his buddies Putin and the other communists and grab as much money as he can before he just gets the hell out of there. Bush did the same thing to a very lesser degree. The last Bush in office went to the evangelicals when he was losing, and that pulled him right up front by preaching fear, okay? And he aligned himself with this Heritage Foundation, which, if you want to call anybody radical, they're radical Christians. The white Christian nationalist movement is what we really have to be concerned about. And that's it. And,
hey,
and I think that we were all so shocked that it was like, you know, too much last night.
Thank you very much for the calls. You know, Sandy, we began the show by talking about, you know, the outcome and what transpired yesterday. It's not the end, right? It's the world didn't come to an end.
Right. Don't worry.
And if Joe Biden is not the nominee, we're going to move forward. The Democratic Party will not change what it stands for if someone else is in that position.
And I would agree with the last caller that we have to be alert to some other things like Christian nationalism, this new law in Oklahoma and the law in Louisiana and this encroachment into what is, you know, the constitutional basis for our country associated with the intrusion of religion into our government. I'm not anti-religious at all, but I am anti the process of essentially violating the Establishment Clause and putting religion directly into our public processes.
You know, Sandy, for those who don't know, in Oklahoma last night, they passed a bill that says Christianity must be taught in the public schools. If you don't think there's something wrong with that, And you claim to be a person who understands what the founding fathers stood for, and if that's not alarming to you, Sandy,
my point of bringing it up is we can't get too distracted by this whole presidential campaign and overlook some very important issues. You know, the social issues have distracted us so much, and if we could just put those social issues to sleep and start working on the actual issues that matter to Tom, Dick, and Mary. And their budget and their ability to live comfortably and to pass on to their children a good life, then I think we'll be on the right page. And my concern is that the candidate last night, Donald Trump, had nothing to say about those issues and had nothing to do with those issues in his 4 years in office. And my hope is that whatever happens going forward, that we end up with a political process that starts being responsive to the interests of Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Well, so Sandy, I don't think that the way that Democrats have looked at things in with Joe Biden, I don't think that the push to tax the corporations ends with Joe Biden. I don't think that the tax cuts and the work that's been done to try to rectify some of the problems that the average American is suffering stops with Joe Biden. It's bigger than one guy, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we need to start focusing on. It should be about policies and not about individuals.
All right. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Hey, the world's not over. As what? Bob Marley, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's going to be all right. Up next, Matt Nair on air. Greg Bach and Jane Matt Nair. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Calvin. See you later.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Friday, so I welcome host of Max Inc. Radio and Live in the Lair, Terry Barr, who always brings great music and conversation, and we'll discuss the legacy of Mel Brooks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.